You know, troubles and trials are inevitable, aren't they? No matter how hard we try to sustain the good times, ultimately, difficulties going to hit. And the real question for us as believers is, how will we respond? I know that at first, when all of this happened, my mind was racing. I was one of the people in line at BJ's, all the way to the back of the store as shelves were getting cleaned out, trying to make sure that I had enough food, had enough water, had enough supplies for my family. But then I began to fall under conviction. Are my eyes focused in the wrong place? Am I going to just trust myself and my strength, or trust in the government to do what I need? Or am I going to trust God? There is no script for any of this, is there? I don't know that we've ever faced anything quite like this before. I was talking to someone who was older than myself from a previous generation, and they had been told by their parents about what happened during World War II, right after the U.S. declared war and entered the conflict. And there was rationing and all kinds of uncertainty and unknowns going on. But even then, I don't know that we've faced any kind of time like this one. So when we don't know what to do, where do we turn? God just kept saying, turn to me. So this morning, let's turn to the Lord together. And let's learn how to trust God during trials. We have this powerful passage from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And the command part of that scripture is the first four words. Four of the most powerful words in all of Scripture. Trust in the Lord. Wow. That's easy to say, easy to read, but much harder to live out. But as we come to understand Scripture, trust or faith is the absolute foundation. It's the foundation of any relationship, including the most important relationship of all, our relationship with God the Father. And really what boils down, what it all boils down to in times of uncertainty and times of trials, is the fear versus faith question. Are we going to let our minds race away from us in fear? And in that uncertainty and all the unknowns that are out there right now, are we going to become so preoccupied with not touching the wrong thing or not getting too close to someone that we allow fear to run away with our minds? Certainly we should be diligent. Certainly we should practice social distancing and coughing and sneezing into our elbow or whatever the case may be. We should do the right thing to try to be respectful of each other and obedient to our civil authorities. But I believe that God would tell us today to fear not. I did a search in Scripture online. I will confess, I didn't manually look all these up, but did you know that there are 143 occurrences of the words fear not in Scripture? 143. What an amazing number. So I believe God would tell us today to fear not. Because fear is the enemy of faith. Fear stands in complete and total battle with faith. They cannot coexist. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. If God didn't give us fear, where does fear come from? Well, it comes from our enemy. It comes from Satan, who wants to sift us like wheat, who wants us to succumb to fear, who wants us to allow our minds to race away from God. But if we, as God's people, will simply come together and renew our commitment of faith, God can do amazing things. 1 John 4:18 begins with these words, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." This morning, I want for each of us to allow God's word to remind us of his love and allow that love to cast out the fear in our minds and in our hearts. 2 Thessalonians 1, 2-4 says, "Grace to you and peace from the God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to give thanks to God for you, brethren, as is only fitting, because your faith is greatly enlarged, and the love of each of you toward one another grows even greater. Therefore, we ourselves speak proudly of you among the churches of God for your perseverance and faith in the midst of all your persecutions and afflictions which you endure." You know, the Word of God promises us not that we will live peaceful, wonderful lives, but that we will have trouble, that we will face trials and persecutions and all different kinds of things that cause us to turn back to God. And the choice is ours. Will we choose fear or will we choose faith? Here Paul encourages the Thessalonian church, and I believe that God wants to encourage your hearts today, that even in the midst of all of these trials, of all these afflictions, that we can be people of faith. So here the command is to trust in the Lord, but then that command is followed by some conditions. Because God calls us to have faith, yes, but in what way? So let's review those conditions in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 together this morning. The first one is with all your heart. There are many occurrences in Scripture of Scripture calling us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, and one of those is in Deuteronomy 4, verse 29. "But from there you will seek the Lord your God, and you will find him if you search after him with all your heart and with all your soul." What a beautiful verse to remind us that rather than seeking after the things of this world, rather than trusting in anything else but God, that if we will seek the Lord, he will provide. Remember the promise of Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." Deuteronomy 6:5 continues, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." And then we're also reminded in Jeremiah 29:13, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." So let me ask you this morning, what is your heart invested in? What is your heart seeking after? May we all be found seeking faithfully and wholeheartedly after the Lord. Because until you seek him with all your heart, until you trust him with all your heart, God will simply not show up. Because he knows your heart. He knows your mind. We can't fake it with God. He knows us better than we know ourselves. He made us. He formed us. So may we truly recommit to trusting him and seeking him with all our heart. I want you to know that we love you. I love you. God loves you. And even when we can't be together in person, we're never very far away. We can know that God is there and that he loves us and that he will never leave us nor forsake us if we trust and seek him with all our hearts. God doesn't honor half-hearted commitment. He demands and deserves your complete surrender, your complete dedication. He will not reveal himself until he is sought after with our whole heart. So not only does this passage place the condition of seeking him with our whole heart, it also says to lean not on your own understanding. Why is that? Why is that so dangerous? Well, Scripture tells us that the heart is infinitely wicked. Who can know it? But also, in Proverbs 16:2, it says, all the ways of a man are pure in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirit. God weighs our motives. God knows who we really are. He sees right through us. And even though we think we're doing the right thing, unless we have truly sought after him, unless we truly desire to know him and to follow him, God's not going to honor or bless that. But he will if our ways are pure and right to him. Also, Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 3:19, for the wisdom of this world is folly with God. It's futile to seek after worldly wisdom when God wants you to seek him and seek his wisdom. And then I love these beautiful words in Ephesians 4:17-19. It says, now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have themselves given up to sensuality, greedy to practice of every kind of impurity. This is what happens to us if we allow our faith to fade and if we give in to the way of this world. These verses clearly describe what happens. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be callous. I don't want to be given unto sensuality and greed and evil practice. I want to turn to the Lord and be found faithful, even in the hard times, even in the midst of trial. And then the passage in Proverbs 3:5-6 goes on to say, in all your ways acknowledge him. This is the third condition. But how do we acknowledge God? Well, aren't you glad that Scripture gives us clear directions about how God wants us to be acknowledged, both through our worship and glorifying his name and living out our faith? 1 Chronicles 16:29 says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. That word ascribe to the Lord, that means assign, that means give, that means by surrendering yourself, by realizing that he's God and we're not, that we give him the glory. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. That's what we're seeking to do this morning. Because regardless of whether it's virtual or in person, God is still there. God is still seeking to be worshiped and acknowledged the way that he demands and deserves to be. And then the psalmist writes in Psalm 22:23, you who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him and stand in awe of him. All you descendants of Israel. So as we fear the Lord, as we refuse to fear circumstances and fear the Lord, I love the phrase that says, when you fear God, you don't have to fear anything else. But if you choose not to fear God, you have to fear everything else.
So as we fear the Lord, we can put away the fear. We can cast the fear aside and seek to do these things and trust in the Lord with all of our heart and lean not on our own understanding and acknowledge Him. And as we do these things, let's see His commitment to us. That's what's next. The last phrase in these powerful verses show us God's commitment if we will trust in the Lord with all our heart and lean not on our own understanding, in all our ways acknowledge Him, and what? He will make your path straight. This morning, what I'd like for you to do is put your name where that word "your" is. He will make Steve Bailey's path straight. He will make Chris Castleberry's path straight. He will make Crystal Peters' path straight. He will make Nathan Bailey's path straight. He will make Matthew Bailey's path straight. Now that you know everybody who's sitting in the sanctuary this morning, He will make your path straight, because He loves you and He desires for you to know Him, to know His will, and to follow Him. And what does it mean to make your path straight? Well, He'll show you the next step. It's amazing that when I have completely surrendered to God and I'm waffling or uncertain about what to know, to do next, God shows up. He puts people in my life who give me godly counsel, or He creates the circumstances around me, or as I'm opening His word and seeking to meditate on Him, He just clearly gives me the direction that I need. Acts 22:14 says, and He said, "The God of our fathers has appointed you to know His will and to see the righteous one," that's speaking of Jesus Christ, "and to hear an utterance from His mouth." I don't know about you, but the next utterance I need to hear is not from government. It's not from some city official. It's not from anyone but the Lord God Himself. And God has appointed us to know His will and to hear His voice. I hope that's your earnest desire and your earnest plea today, to hear God and know that you have discovered what you ought to do next. Also, this morning I want to remind you that He hears and knows your heartfelt longings. When God seeks to make your path straight, Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father on high, and He is making intercession for us. We receive those promises in Romans 8, 26 and 27. These verses tell us, in the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness. And I don't know about you right now, but I feel weak. I feel vulnerable. I am in need of God's help. I'm in need of His comfort and His peace. For we do not know how to pray as we should. Sometimes I kneel to pray and my mind is fixed on confusion or doubt, or I just don't know what to say or how to respond. But the good news is the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because He intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. So we, as God's people, have this wonderful promise that God knows what we're thinking, He knows what we're feeling, He knows what we're going through. How can He? Because Jesus Christ became a man. He endured everything that we as human beings go through. He knows what we're feeling, He knows what we're going through, and He still loves us. Isn't that amazing? I hope that blesses your heart and encourages you today to know that God has not gone anywhere. The Lord Jesus Christ is still there for you, and He's making sense of all your groanings, of all your cries, of all your heartfelt prayers. You know, God wants to fill you with wisdom today. God wants you to experience His heart and know His love. And cast aside the fear, cast aside the doubt. Yes, be diligent, but most importantly, trust. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. If you will allow your trust and hope in God to bolster and sustain you, God will come alongside by the power of His Spirit and prop you up and give you the strength that you need each and every moment of each and every day. This morning, I want to leave you with the encouraging words of Colossians 1, 9 through 12. And I hope that you will allow these words to just wash over you and bless you and help you. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you. I am praying for you. Your church family is praying for you. Please share with us your prayer needs. We have engaged the impact leaders as care group leaders. I hope all of you have heard from them. I hope you know who your care group leader is and know that they are there for you, but most importantly, that God is. So we are praying for you. We are praying for your family. We're praying for God's protection to be upon you, to be upon our community, our state, our nation, and our world. Join me this morning as we pray together for everyone afflicted with the coronavirus. We pray for healing, but most importantly, we pray that hearts will be turned to the Lord. We pray that many will come to know Christ as a result of this crisis. Because we want you, like Paul prayed for the Colossian church, to be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. What I want to challenge you with this morning is that this is an opportunity. Yes, we are going through a trial, but this is an opportunity. Because people are living in fear, the gospel, I believe with all my heart, will shine forth like a ray of light. You are a saint in the light if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And I pray that you will be a source of encouragement and hope in sharing the abundant, everlasting love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hope that you will seize opportunities to be a witness for Him, that you will be a blessing wherever you go. And may your response in the face of this trial show your abiding trust and faith and hope in the Lord, and that you will bear fruit as believers in Christ. May God's peace, may God's blessing, may God's hope be upon you as you trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. He will see us through this to the end, if we don't fail to trust in Him. God bless you. I love you. And may you be encouraged.